It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. Exodus chapter 30, we're going to begin with verse 34 today. And so please that you would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30, verse 34, and that's where we'll begin. So please, as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org, and it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so I hope that is enough time for you to open your Bibles. We like to get right into the study. We don't want to waste any time in the preparation and getting beginning, because it's the Word of God is where the power and the strength is going to come from in all of our lives for salvation or for the growth as a believer. So please that you will follow along now. We've got some difficult words here, so we're going to begin reading in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34, and it's concerning the incense and what it is. And so please follow along as we read through, down just through verse 38 for now anyway. Exodus chapter 30, verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices, with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And which shalt thou beat, shall beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, I shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and we have this short time together, but it's just wonderful, dear Lord, to be able to read your word and to fellowship over it. Please that you will speak to every heart, if it be for salvation, because they're lost, they're dying in their sin. They have never come by faith to you. Please, today that they come, please that they come today and be saved. And if they know you as their Savior, that this will be a growing time, a time to begin the walk and walk closer and closer to you each day. As we've studied this book of Exodus, we can see how that this picture of the tabernacle is so close to how a believer's life should be, and what we can do to be closer to you, to walk with you each day, to be more like you, Lord Jesus, to be more godly. Please today, guide and lead us now as we search these scripture verses. I thank you for your word. Now please that you give us the wisdom to understand it, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at this time here, we have some steps. If you want to back up to the beginning of this chapter, we'll find the prayer altar that the chapter begins with. The incense altar, as is known, we've talked about its location. Its location is in the holy place, the first room, the room that is 30 feet long and 15 foot wide, and it is towards the veil. We have the table of showbread, and we have the lampstand, and then centered, the one is on one side, one on the other side, centered then towards the veil is this incense altar, this prayer altar. And this prayer altar is just that, the incense altar. It is as our prayers, as we can come and speak to our Lord, and He in turn takes it to the Father. And so as the Lord Jesus right now is alive, seated on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. So when we go to him in prayer, we have this opportunity of the Holy Spirit giving us direction, giving it to the Son, and the Son gives it to the Father. And then the Father gives it to the Son gives it back to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. What a wonderful work and wonderful opportunity we have. In this tabernacle, they had the incense altar. The more time that they would stay in the holy place, feeding upon the Word, enjoying the light of the lampstand, the more this fragrance, this perfume would stick with them. It's kind of the same thing with us. The longer and the more time we spend in the Word of God and in fellowship with our God in prayer, the more people can smell, can know that sweet savor, that sweet perfume of being with our God. Now, it is not an odor as such like it is here, but our actions, how we speak, how we act, how we talk, everything will be different the more time we spend with him. So we look at this altar now here at the beginning of the chapter, and then we come from there and we come to the laver, and we enjoyed the speaking of that laver, and then of course that half a shekel of silver, speaking of the blood of Christ that we looked at in the 11th through the 16th verse. If you not bring that half a shekel, then you're not a part of the sanctuary, you're not a part of the fellowship. Because, you see, if you have not trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ, you have no hope of life, none. And so that's the beginning. Now, the next, then, we looked at the laver, and, of course, that's the washing. Everything begins at the altar, the brazen altar, where the sacrifice is offered. But we know that Jesus died, and he died once for all. So we have that wonderful opportunity of living now and having life. But living in this world, we get dirty, and so we need to do the washing. Well, that's part of our fellowship with the Lord. That's part of our worship, is this cleansing and watching the Holy Spirit speak to our heart and cleanse our life. That's part of it. So we have the incense altar first, which is a prayer altar. But before you can ever get there, you have to have brought the half a shekel of silver representing the blood of Christ. So you have to come to that brazen altar first. If it not be for this half a shekel of silver, there would be no tabernacle at all. There would be no foundation. If it not be for the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no foundation. And so don't try to build it on something else, because it doesn't work. It has got to be upon the blood of Jesus Christ. His precious blood bought us, paid for us. The blood that represents with this half a shekel of silver, everybody, you have to be a partaker in the blood of Christ. And that represented this when you, this part here, when they took the half a shekel of silver. So, brazen altar, the incense altar was pictured first here in the 30th chapter. And then we come to this half a shekel of silver. Then we come to the brazen laver, which you have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior before the washing can begin. A lot of people try to clean themselves first. Doesn't work. You must come to the altar. You must be saved, born again first, and then it begins. And then we come and we looked at this anointing. And to have the anointing, this special setting aside, this special time, this offering to Aaron and to his sons, as they would go about to minister on behalf of the people and themselves, but before they could ever enter in, they had to have the anointing. So we have the altar where they were saved, the brazen altar. Then comes the laver, the washing. Then comes the anointing. Now, today, this anointing is, and we're going to look up a couple of verses of Scripture, is the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, the unction, as the Scripture verse says here in would say in John. So if you look, turn with me to John chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, get to the New Testament, we'll find it. I hope that you are in a situation where you can take time to look at these verses of Scripture with me. John chapter 2, verse 20. And I hope I have the right verse here. And it doesn't appear that I do. As we look at the Scripture verses, and I'm looking for the one, and a lot of times I am notorious for transposing numbers. And I had written that down after I looked at it. So what I'm looking for is the verse of Scripture, and I may have to get it next time we come together, and that's concerning the Holy Spirit and the unction it speaks of. And the word unction there means anointing. And so we enjoy the precious Scripture. Let me just see if I did not misquote that with being 1 John. That may be where I am making the mistake. We look up so many verses of Scripture in studying, which is wonderful. Okay, let's see here. Yes, there's where I made the mistake. I didn't put down 1 John. I'm glad I found it. 1 John, I knew we were close there. 1 John chapter 2 and the 20th verse. And it tells us, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And if we come down to the 27th verse then, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now, as we think back of this anointing that we have in the 22nd and really down through verse 25 and 27, it is speaking of making the oil, and it speaks of in a pharmacy type method is what that apothecary stands for. And so we're making this ointment, this perfume to put up on these, to pour up on the priests and the Aaron and his sons, and making them as the anointing of the Holy Spirit it represents. It allows us, it gives us a power of wisdom, of knowledge, to know the Word of God. It is wonderful to walk each day, to serve the Lord, and to have a teacher, one that the anointing, you think of someone that is wise, someone that God has blessed especially. He is giving Aaron and his sons this special power, this special direction, this special wisdom. And it is, God could have spoken to them, given it to them, but he used this oil to show them, this pouring on of this oil, this sweet smell, the sweet odor, the sweet taste of it even. It was the things that were used for that. But it set them aside as someone that God has given a special blessing in wisdom, in understanding. Now, we have that time. And again, I want to go back to 1 John with you so that you can see that I love teaching the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God. But it is not, and I believe that God has given me a wonderful gift of teaching. I've taught for many years. I love the Word of God. How can someone stay in one book and teach it for 30 years and be more excited about it today than the first day that I opened it after I was saved? It's because of the Holy Spirit that lives within me, that continues to show me the truths of His Word, His living Word. And it is such a joy to study the Word of God. It's such a joy to teach the Word of God. And I have the opportunity many times every week to teach the Word of God. And it is so exciting to 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week, depending on the week, of how many times I get to proclaim the Word of God. I get to study it and search it and then proclaim it. And I love to teach. But the ability to teach is a gift. All can learn, all can teach. But I believe God gives special gifts. And I believe that's one that I have had the honor of possessing. And that's the reason I teach as often and as much as I do, because I believe God has given me that gift, and for me not to use it would be wrong. But for you to learn, you do not have to listen to me. To get the truth, the Word of God, if you are born again, you can receive that yourself through the Holy Spirit. But ye have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. This special blessing, this special gift, this special power, this being set aside for that. But the learning. Look at verse 27 again. I'm still back in 1 John chapter 2. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. How many times does the preacher try to keep you dumb? They come in some superior method and ways and act like that I am God's blessing to you. And a pastor should be that way. But the pastor himself should never have that kind of arrogancy to him. A pastor should be a very humble, should listen, should have a sweet spirit to them. That's a pastor. A pastor should never, I despise when people would say reverend, because there is only one that I reverence, and that's my Savior. That's my God. That's the only one. If you want to call me pastor, that's fine. Don't call me reverend. And so many today, it's reverend this, and they demand it. They want that honor. Oh, we are to honor and praise our God. Man is to not get the honor. And so when you look at this verse, and I didn't intend to really spend this much time with it, but when you look at that verse, I want you to see that ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. If you're born again, you've got to be saved. If you're not saved, you do not possess the Holy Spirit. You have no means of learning, none. You can have a lot of knowledge in your head, but you have no wisdom. And wisdom, my simple definition of wisdom, is taking knowledge and applying it properly. That's wisdom. Taking knowledge and applying it properly at the right time, at the right place. And only the Spirit of God can give that to you. Many people in this old world are very, very, very smart. 10 times, thousands of times smarter than I am. But they lack wisdom. Many times the world even calls it common sense. Because many people lack common sense. We see that today in so many areas. We see a lack of common sense sometimes in the medical field. We see it in the political arena. No common sense. Big business today. Everybody's trying to hold on to their job. There's no common sense. Nobody can give you an answer. Much knowledge. No common sense. You want to have sense. Good sense. Then come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Don't come to get sense. Come get your sins taken care of. But by doing that, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will come to live within your heart. And for the first time, you can take the knowledge you have and turn it to wisdom. The Apostle Paul, is a perfect example of that. That man was a very, very smart man. But he was religious. But he was dying in his sin until he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and got saved. And when he got saved, his life changed. The bulk of this world today is religious. You need salvation. You need to come by faith to Jesus. And when you do, then we come together here to study. We come together as a family to study the Word of God. And I teach Sunday school. I teach preach the message. I teach on Sunday night. I teach on Wednesday night. And I do this radio program. That's every week. That is every week I have that wonderful opportunity of teaching the studying, preparing, and teaching the Word of God every week. Some people prepare one message and they're exhausted. They need a few days off. You need the power of God. You need the strength of God. But what you don't have to have is some man to teach you. What you need is the Holy Spirit to teach you. He can teach you all things. Oh, my friend, open the Word of God. I hope that you can see that. Now, we have looked at this anointing back with, which was the last time we were together. The anointing of the priests, preparing for God, getting wisdom from God of what to do and how to do it. And now we come back of what we've read from verse 34 to 38. We're back to the prayer altar. We're back to this incense that God is going to have Moses, said unto Moses, take unto thee. And so Moses is the one. It's not Aaron. It's not Aaron's sons. But Moses is the one that's given the opportunity to stir up, to make this this product, this perfume, this incense. And it's made especially under God's direction, just as the anointing oil. It was made under God's direction to make the anointing oil for Aaron and his sons. Also, this incense that is prepared here, this perfume that's prepared here, is also under direct orders from God. It is not man's concoction. It is God's. Man is not supposed to duplicate it. In other words, they can make it again and again and again for this purpose. But it is not supposed to be, oh, that is the sweetest smell. I'm going to make that and put that on the market. Same way with the oil. This oil, if it was poured on any other man besides who it was specified for any other use, it would be being thrown out of the camp, be cut off from the people, the verse 33 says. And we have the same thing in verse 38. Shall even be cut off from his people. In other words, whether it's the oil or the incense, it has its sole purpose, and that was for God's honor and glory. The sweet incense was to be a fragrance that was smelled no place else except at the incense altar. So we looked at this altar before, and we talked about the sweet smell that would stay with you. Well, not only will that sweet smell stay with you, but now we're looking at what it was, how it was made. It gives the weight, it gives what was used, and this stakti, and I hope I'm pronouncing that close to being correct, is known also as the balm of Gilead. And it was found in Mount Gilead, and the it's a very strong odor, very valuable. I understand that it's a liquid in nature, in matter. We find the next, onycha. Again, I hope that that's close. Is from a shellfish. It too was a very sweet incense. The next one was galbanum, and it was kind of a gummy, juicy. It came from a plant. And each one of these came from different areas. The purpose was to make this perfect formula. It was a very sweet. It was these spices with pure frankincense. Of each, there shall be like weight. And then this confection, that's the mixture. They've mixed it up after the art of a pharmacist is in that method. And so it was not, it was done very professionally and very perfectly. It was tempered. And this is, it means duly mixed, it's mixed properly. It was pure and holy. It was beaten. It shall be beaten some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy. For the Lord, whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall be cut off from his people. Now this perfect formula, this God-given formula, its purpose was to be something that was so wonderful and so unique that it was found nowhere else. The anointing oil was something that was so special, so God-given, so unique that it was found nowhere else. We can never make, we've talked about this the last couple of times, don't make the things of God ordinary. And you can do that very easily by just getting into the what they call the habit. Don't get in the habit. Not with the things of God. Make it a special time when you study the Word of God. Make it a special time when you pray unto your God. Make it a special time when you come together with other believers as a time of fellowship to hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word and the singing of those beautiful old hymns. Make it a special time. Don't get to the place that it's ordinary. It's old stuff. There's nothing special about it. Oh, I go, but I don't know why. Oh, what a terrible, terrible statement to make. Maybe it's because there is no strength and no power. Maybe the presence of the Holy Spirit is not where you go to church. Maybe he can't be because of false doctrine that's taught or ways that are taught there. I don't know. But I know it should be a special time. And you should come and be awakened and excited about being in the house of God each and every time the doors open. You should never miss it. You should do everything you can do to be in the house of God as a child of God. But my friends, you got to be saved. It starts all at the altar. It all comes by you coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Please call upon him. Please believe his word today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus.